Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So it's been a while, and mostly because of the holidays and work. Work is really hard because you have holiday, and then you got to catch up, and then you go on another holiday, and then it's. So I was off for an entire week, in New Mexico. Got to spend time with family, had a good time, read a lot of comics. Did a lot of stuff, had a good time, and now I'm getting ready to go on Christmas break, which should be really cool. A lot has happened. When I came back from Thanksgiving, I found out my comic shop had sort of was in trouble. And he since changed his mind. He was gonna close, and I guess he resolved whatever he needed to resolve and is now open, but he warned me enough that I switched all my books over to DCBS. And I had to tell him. I had to say, hey, I'm going to close my box after December. So hopefully he'll give me my December books still. And we'll go from there. But I will still be going to the shop, probably weekly, picking up comics, back issues. Mostly, he's really gotten into dollar comics, and I think his philosophy is changing, like to pay bills and stuff. Is he's trying to, I think, get rid of stuff that he thinks he could sell at the dollar level, and he put a lot of freaking dollar comics, and I've been buying a lot. Mostly stuff that nobody wants. I've been buying a lot of Charlton dollar comics, war comics. There's been some X-Men holes I've been trying to fill because, like I told you, X-Men have never been my favorite, but man, I am getting close to filling that stuff. And just X-Men titles in general, like X-Factor, X-Force. I'd like to have full runs of those. So, I've been taking advantage of that, and I'll still continue to do that. And so much that I've intaked so many comics that I've ran out of supplies, and it usually takes them 2 weeks to get, and I've run out of like supplies wickedly. So as soon as my next shipment of 1,000 comes in, I'm gonna have to send away for another 1,000, and I'm gonna probably have to change my cycle because I've been filling them out so dang fast. But this last batch, it had a lot of fun stuff. It was a lot of fighting Marines, fighting Navy, military comics. There was a Green Beret comic from Dell, another Dell book, a couple Magnus robot fighters, a Turok, Archie, a lot of Pep, Archie's gals, Archie's giants, all kinds of different stuff. I've been filling in a lot. I've acquired a lot of Archie, Marvel, and other this year. Not a lot of DC, but a lot of Marvel. A lot of Marvel. Matter of fact, I almost have full runs of everything, with the exception of a few issues. So I am gonna be early in January, probably be making another purchase from Reed to start targeting Masters of Kung Fu, even though I already order the Epics, and I have the whole run and magazine run and omnibus. I think that's a worthwhile endeavor. And then I'd like to finish my Spectacular Spider-Man in Web of Spider-Man. So, yeah. But I think for New Year's resolutions, I would like to finish Cap because I'm just so damn close. I have like one expensive book to go and the rest are affordable. But like I think I'm under like 12 issues to finish. And then I'd like to focus on Thor. And I don't know. We'll see. But I'll keep it to Captain America for that. As far as New Year's resolutions, I've already determined the two characters that this year was the year of Venom for me. I read a lot of Venom, whether it be Absolute Carnage and Venom, or Venom Minis. I read the entire Venom 1 Omnibus. Next year, I'm going to take two characters. So what Adopt a Character is something that one of the podcasts I listen to, Collectors Comics, Collectors Comics Library. I got to appear with Chris and Andy. It was a big privilege. Every month they pick all the collected editions they want, and I got to appear in a draft, and it was a lot of fun. Was a great time talking to him. And now I know what they look like because they did video. I didn't do video, but they did video, so now I know what they look like. I never did, even though I've heard their voices many a times. So, I appeared on that. That was a lot of fun. I've lined up a retailer for Collector's Corner, which I'm really excited because it's a realm I haven't played in. Talking to a retailer, and then I've informally on the Slack channel invited somebody to be in another Mike M Collector's Corner. So I have two at least lined up for early next year, and we'll go from there. DC, everything else is going really well. If everything goes well, I'll be able to record. There are four of us, but not all of us can record tonight. But hopefully, me and Kirk will be able to get together. I hope, because I prepared for it, and I had a really good time reading the books that I did. The books that I chose were just top notch. We were supposed to record Geek Brunch Retrocast. But Rob got sick, and Chris couldn't make it, so I just did a solo one. But I had fun talking to myself. I hope you listen to it. And then the pages for my comic book, the guests are done. So I have to decide what to do. I'm gonna print out all the pages, figure out how to do like how I'm gonna lay out the dialogue and lettering and stuff. And then I have to figure out how to hire a letter and also a colorist. I would like to do a color. I think for my Kickstarter, I'm going to offer a black and white and color and a tier for both, because I don't have a lot to offer. I have some back matter already thought of. I'll probably offer a director's cut that actually has all the pages. It won't have the entire comic, but it'll have like here are the artist's pages, and here are my words. How I actually scripted that, and you can see how I did Alan Moore script at first, and then cut over to a Stan Lee script. But I think I did it because of pacing and such, and I think it came out really well. I look at it now and it was a lot of fun, but I think it's too condensed. I don't regret doing what I did because I never could. Making another issue for another 3 grand is like a little ridiculous. So I tried to accomplish as much as I possibly can, and I don't think I'm going to recoup half of the cost. I'm hoping to recoup at least somebody's cost, like the colorist or maybe printing cost, but I'm gonna eat it. And but if by some miracle it does well, I already have ideas for a sequel, and it will tie in concepts that I've talked about of a comic book called First and Ah. So it will be fun if I get to explore that. So we'll see how that goes. As far as what were some of the other stuff I wanted to talk about? I forgot. Streaming services haven't gotten on to Disney Plus because I have so much other stuff to watch. I want to get it, but it'll probably be sometime in 2020, maybe 2021, when I actually can get it. It's not that I can't get it, I just don't feel like I can offer time to watch anything, even though The Mandalorian looks incredible. We already bought our tickets for Star Wars. I'm very excited for that. I saw Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and I cried my eyes out because I wear my heart on my sleeve, if you haven't already guessed it. We got a new fence. We got a new car. The car thing we've been saving for a long time, and it feels good to get a new vehicle the way we did it. Just putting aside, and I think the philosophy from now on is, now that we did that, we're already saving for the next car, and hopefully pay that off right away. Because a car payment sucks, and if you ever lose your job, it's a lot of payment, monthly pay fee to have to go through. It's bad enough having to pay insurance and all the other registration, yearly registration fees and all that other bullshit on top of a monthly car payment. But I kept the Durango. I just couldn't part with it. And matter of fact, I just took it for some yearly repairs, and it was quite expensive, but the Blue Book value is less than what I paid to get maintained on the vehicle. But when all's said and done, it's such a good vehicle. It's been so good to me. And I even talked to the guy, and he said, "Yeah, that vehicle's a beast." He said, "It's like in really good shape. You've really taken care of it." And I have. I've taken it for all its maintenance, and it's still kicking. I don't see any reason to get rid of it. And it'll help us have two vehicles that can handle bad weather conditions, 'cause our third one sucks. We got part of our fence repaired, 'cause the wind was sort of gonna blow it down at any moment. So we replaced one side. In actuality, it looks weird 'cause one side is old and one side is new, but we just had new posts repaired on the other one because the wind blew it down. So I'm kind of hesitant. I'll probably have stain it both sides this summer. But yeah, house repairs, and that's no fun. But it feels good when it's done and paid off, especially. And then gotta get a new furnace. We'll have that pretty soon. It's just furnaces last, 20 years or so, and then they start to not work as well. So yeah, got a lot of payments building up, but fortunate enough to be able to pay it off. So let's talk some comics. We have some questions, at least I think I do, on stuff that I haven't answered in quite a bit. I don't know where I. Oh, I got a new comic base too. Comic Base 2020 came out. It is much faster. The new interface, I like it a lot, except for a couple features. One of the features is, the other feature they got rid of that I loved is, as you were looking at your particular view in table mode, you'd be able to like mouse over the cover, and then it would like enlarge to full blown and cover your whole screen. Well, now you have to click, and then it'll just come up. And I love that other feature. I found a bug when I was adding a Drifting Classroom, a manga, to the list, because it had the original manga, but it didn't have this hardcover collection that just came out from Viz. And I tried to add it, and it didn't work. And he gave me a workaround though, so that's good. And he said the next update will fixed it. The other thing I was sort of not crazy about is they added multiple themes, which is really cool. But when they did that, or whatever engine they're using now, or graphic thing, When you put in a quantity of a book, it like puts a transparent color, o depending on your selection and your preferences, over that issue as that you have, that you own. So the owned issues appear different in the table than the ones that are you still need to get. The ones you still need to get are white, and then you might have like a your color of choice in some type of transparent. The transparent color became lighter, and that became a little annoying because as my eyes get older, it's harder to like differentiate. But other than that, it's a great application. I downloaded the app. The app isn't nearly as good as some of the apps that I've seen. The database itself is better than any of the databases. I'll say that out there right now. But as far as the online presence on your mobile device, what you end up having to do is you save off the reports of the books you want. For me, I want my whole database, so it makes it kind of rough because I never know what I want to buy. Like I'm a mood guy, but like if I knew I wanted a complete cap this year, that's one I should upload to my phone. X-Men might be another good one. Some of the Marvel ones that I'm trying to finish. But you have to be proactive in creating the report and then exporting it. Which I would like the app just so I could scroll through and see what's on the computer. Your computer, it has its advantages, is that your computer stores the information, so you have it, you maintain it. That could be a pro or a con, versus some like other company maintaining it on their server, which has the benefit of maybe you could access it from anywhere. But the downside is that place could sell, or it could go out of business, or all kinds of different things. Whereas this database I'll always own. The worst thing that could happen is my database has been around forever, goes out of business, and then I have to maintain it. So I would have to add new issues and new scans and all that stuff instead of buy that yearly subscription service where it downloads all the books that came in on Wednesday. So that's a little bit of an update. Let's see if I have any questions. Okay, from Dallo Spicer. He says, thoughts on the new Bloodshot trailer. Have you seen the Bloodshot action figure? Update on whether you managed to reduce your volume of new books per month. Do you ever reread books? If so, which books have you reread the most? Oh, that's a lot of questions. Matter of fact, it's so many that I think that's all I'll answer this episode. So let's talk about the first one. Thoughts on the new Bloodshot trailer? It's all right. I mean, I'm gonna go see it. I hope it's better than the trailer. I didn't go like gaga gaga. But it looks interesting. I don't know. I don't usually judge a movie till I see it, but I could judge a trailer. I'm not ex there's other trailers I'm way more excited for, like Wonder Woman 84 or whatever year they're doing. Way more excited for the Star Wars film. The one I bought those tickets early. There's a lot of World War II movies. There's a World War I movie that's coming out. I'm really excited for it because I really enjoy those. There's a lot of films that I want to see during the Christmas holidays. I just love watching movies in general. Bloodshot I'll probably see on premiere day. And even if people shit on it, I don't give a shit because I don't listen to anybody. I judge it for myself. I don't judge it ahead of time. I like to see it, and chances are I'll like it. There's very few movies in my life that I've not liked or I felt like I don't want to watch. Usually I get into the musical realm, like Little Shop of Horrors, and I'm like, why am I here? But I don't know. that's few and far between. I can watch anything. Even bad movies are sometimes really good. I love watching B films, C films, garbage. if I can escape on a movie, it's good. And I'm sure I'll be able to escape even if this is not as good as the comic or something different. I mean, I'll be okay if it's something different. As long as they have the nanites in there, if they change the origin, that's fine. I hope they have the healing ability, some of the, things that make Bloodshot special. So, yeah, I would have preferred the mafia angle just because I like that crime angle of it. So the original Bloodshot is always, or I like the crazy Bloodshot, the Jeff Lemire Bloodshot. Really stood out to me as being something different. With that little cartoon looking Bloodshot walking around like he's in Crazy Town. But that's the way I would have went. I would have went with like a Jeff Lemire type story, but and I don't know if like the current incarnation by Tim Seeley is guided by the movie. It seems very action oriented, but as far as like plot devices and stuff like that, I think it's the weakest of all the Bloodshots that I've ever read. But that's just me. And I'm sure the new Bloodshot will appear to a lot of people. I'm definitely going to be there opening weekend, Saturday, at the matinee. Have you seen the new Bloodshot action figure? It looks really great. It has a lot of levels of articulation. Am I going to get it? Probably not. It's an expensive figure, and I'd rather buy a Marvel Legends figure, to tell you the truth. There was a time where I felt like I had to buy every Valiant action figure, even the in-action GOAT figure, which I have. I bought all the Playmate looking or the Mini Mates figures. I didn't buy the plushies, but they're finally coming out with action figures, and now I'm not interested anymore. I think it looks fantastic. If the opportunity came up as a store, I'd probably buy it. I'm not gonna seek it out though. An update on whether you managed to reduce your volume? No, I failed miserably. I increased my volume by about 10%, 20%, instead of decreasing it by 30%. It went up 30% and then gained another 20%. So it right now I'm not gonna worry about it. The key issues are space, but I have some room to grow 'cause I extended something. So we'll see. We'll see. Right now I'm happy just getting the library mentality still working for me. But as I get older and parts of my body start failing, I'll probably be thinking differently. But I'm very happy. I'm a very happy person. I'm very happy with all the companies that are publishing right now. I'm in a good state. I'm not get off of my lawn with any comics or this ain't my Superman or this ain't my Bloodshot. I'm okay with everything that's happening. I'm at peace as if I can sit and read and escape. I enjoy myself quite a bit. So I hope that answers your question, Dallow. Do you ever reread books? Yes, I reread them quite a bit. I have the Retrocast, so that's like a device for me to reread. I have the DC Everything Else podcast, which leads me to reread. I sometimes appear on Gotham by Geeks. I went back on for like 2, 3 episodes, and that causes me to reread. Retrocast, I just reread Omega the Unknown number 1, a Fantastic Four Origin of Annihilus, the first appearance of Quasar and Incredible Hulk. I reread Nova number 1. So yeah, I've been tackling. Reread some Man-Wolf and Marvel Premiere. All of those I had read, but the True Believers came out and I couldn't resist them for a dollar and I reread them again. The Fantastic Four one I've already read twice this year. So Yeah, I reread it quite a bit. That's why I was choosing in the character spotlight, I was choosing characters that I don't haven't read a lot of. Tarzan, I've read some of the Malibu Tarzan. I've read some of the Dynamite Tarzan. I've read some of the DC Tarzan, but not a lot. And maybe one or two issues of the Marvel Tarzan, but that's the character spotlight I want to focus on. I got so into Zorro this year that it's like a Tarzan, a pulp character. Seems like a good place to be. And it's hard for me to choose because I commit to it and I try to stick it. And I did very well with Venom. I read more Venom than I read almost any other character this year. So, with the exception of X-Men, I read a lot of X-Men this year. Just keeping up with the title has been quite the chore, but it's been a lot of fun. The Absolute Carnage wasn't as fun experiment that I did, keeping caught up as it came up at every week. Not as fun as the X-Men one. The X-Men one, I sort of dug it, and I'm still digging it because I'm still doing it. I'm really. And I'm also focusing on Silver Surfer, which I haven't read a lot of. If I have read Silver Surfer, it was Defenders because I read the entire run. It was in Fantastic Four because I love the Fantastic Four. My second favorite team, near next to the Defenders, Fantastic Four. So yeah, I've read Surfer in teams, but I haven't read him a lot in solo. And I have a lot of epic collections of the Surfer to explore. If I could get through one or two, I'd be really content. I really would. So those are not going to be rereads, but they're going to be old. And if so, which books have you reread the most? Identity Crisis probably is up there. It's my favorite event of all time. It makes me cry every time I read it. I get that same emotional impact. Brian Meltzer, Rags Morales, one of my favorite books. I think it's the third time I've read that. I've reread Convergence at least once. I've enjoyed that. I'm rereading a lot of FF. I can never get enough FF. They're so good, and I've read a lot. I've read the first few volumes of Marvel Masterworks. I've been rereading a lot of Brave and the Bold. So there's been a lot of revisits. I'd like to revisit some more Valiant, some of the older stuff again. I used to do a Valiant Versus podcast. It'd be fun to dig that out again and do it. Yeah, some great questions, Dallo. I hope you like my responses. They didn't sound like an asshole. I hope I didn't sound like one. I try to answer them to the best of my ability. You probably knew the answers if you listened to me, because I don't know, you can kind of gauge me. I put out on the podcast exactly how I am. I like a lot, and I get shit for it. Like people like, oh, you like everything. Matter of fact, there's this guy on the Slack channel, and he's the first person that I have ever met, at least that I've talked to. Not really talked to, but chatted with, like in a forum or anything that didn't seem genuine. Because he records these like preview spotlights. And I was like, man, this guy is a guy I want to talk to. I want to, if I could ever record a podcast with this guy, I want to, because he really articulates. He has so much passion. I'm usually good at gauging people. Like, do I ever want to record? Like, all my co-hosts, I've never regretted because they have a passion for comics, and I go after them, and I usually select them because they have this passion about stuff, and I love that. Well, this guy has that passion, but then he's got this like nastiness on the forums. Like, it's just, he posts so much negativity, and he focuses on, and he'll write like a paper on how much he hates something. But you never see that for something he loves usually. It's usually a focus on the negative, and those are the people that I think they're a fungus. And I don't like to swarm around that. I try to ignore it. It's hard for me sometimes, but I'm getting better. So every time he posts some shit, I just think of, rather than read it and get upset, I think of the Peanuts cartoon. If you ever watch the Peanuts cartoon, the adults, they'll be in class and all you hear is blah, 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 blah. And that's how I treat his post now. Like, it's just like blah, 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 blah. And he probably treats the. He probably thinks the same of me. I know in the real life that politically we would never see eye to eye. We could never be friends because it would be very uncomfortable. We have one thing in common, and that's comics. We look through the eyes of comics at different, like through different lens. It's like Bizarro and Superman. And it's quite weird because in another world, I would listen to this guy's preview clips and say, man, that guy could be a co-host, or this guy could be that. And that's the first time I would ever, like, have picked somebody that I could never get along with. Like, it just won't happen. I already know his voice. And it's so weird. Some of you will know who I'm talking about, but it's probably like I could count those people on my. It's probably like three people that would know who I'm talking about, because I. It'd probably be more, but I only know that maybe those three people listen to this podcast would know who I'm talking about. But oh well, if they find a way to filter somebody on the Slack, I'll be happy to, cause on Twitter you can do that. Like, you can accept people, like they can like your stuff and they can comment, but you could sort of filter, and I do that. I make my lists, and that's a happy list. If you're on my list, it's because I want to follow you. You have enough positivity and insight and love for the medium that I want to go read what you have to say about stuff. And yeah, at times you might not like some. That happens. We're all human. But I like the people that focus on the positive. I really do. So let's try to get through some Mike M's weekly reads. All right. So let's talk about October 7th through October 13th. I was going to try to get through 3 weeks, but I'm only going to do two. And hopefully later in the week I'll record another one. I'd like to record at least one more of these before the new year, because I'll be off for an entire week where I won't do any recording. So I'd like to have one queued up so when I get back I can at least release it. So we had one movie and 15 comics. I talked about in a previous episode how I've been trying to spend time on old films. And this particular week, it was TMC Night of the Iguana. Academy Award nominees and all this good stuff. A film that I've heard people mention. Didn't know what it was about. I watched it. And my wife watched it with me, surprisingly, because it was one of those old films, and I think she got into it. It's a very interesting film. It's about a priest who I forget that term when you're kind of like sent away because you've done something wrong. Well, he had sex with somebody at a practitioner in the church, somebody that belonged to the parish. And I think that certain someone was underage, so it made it really worse. That stuff, This was, I think it was from the 50s, this movie, or 40s. Of course, that is more frowned upon in today's world than it was in that world, but it's still frowned upon. And he goes to Mexico because he's trying to find himself and find out where, if he still even belongs with God. And he's an alcoholic and he's weak when it comes to sex. And he goes on this, he's a tourist guide. And he has this tour with a bunch of women that are Baptist women. And that leads him to breaking another sin. He does it again. And it's a very interesting look at things. I really like this movie. I like the two characters. There's a woman and her old uncle that show up on this like place where they're all staying. It's a resort that's sort of closed down for the summer, which sounds really weird for you close it during like August, and there's only these Baptist women and these two. And there's a woman there that the man used to be as one of his best friends, and he passed away, and now he's seeing this woman. But it is a very interesting movie, Night of the Iguana. Check it out. Pull up your IMDb, see if it's for you. We got a 3 out of 5. We got Copra number 1. This is The Image Ongoing. This I give it a 3 out of 5. I didn't enjoy it as much as past Copras, which is like a look at a Suicide Squad type group. Some of them are blatant rip-offs. Kind of, I thought it was like a real rip-off, like legally. But when you think about things, there's a lot of rip-offs. You could take Youngblood and make them a team, or a lot of these teams are rip-off. Squadron Supreme's a rip-off of the Justice League, and so I shouldn't have been so. When it first came out, I was like, man, this is jarring, because it's like, how did this guy even. He's like riding Suicide Squad. How's he able to do this? And I couldn't figure it out for the life of me. But he did. And Michelle Pfeiffer, I think that's his name, is doing a good job with this series. I really enjoyed Copra, but I thought this first issue ongoing from Image, he moved it from Bergen Street, and is self-published. So he had the self-published where you could get online, and then the Bergen Street would publish the trades, and that's how I chose to read them. And now I'm switching to water from a Dr. Pepper. But I found it, this one was a mistake, because he threw you in the continuation of a story, and the back matter that tried to catch you up was just insufficient. But I thought it was a poor number one, but a decent issue for a follow-on story. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. We have Marvel Comics 1001, which is another batch of one-page stories that were so much fun. The best ones were the Spider-Man ones, in my opinion. It was a lot of fun. It's just one-page stories, but it works. Absolute Carnage, Immortal Hulk number 1. This is where Bruce Banner and his allies deal with being inside of Venom. It continued from Absolute Carnage number 3. Let me make sure I'm still recording. Yep, we're still recording. I walk away from the computer so much, you just have to check every now and then. Absolute Carnage, Miles Morales, number 3. Miles and Dan go after Jonah, and Miles bites Jonah, and Jonah becomes infected and later gets the symbiote off of Miles and reabsorbs it. Oh, and Miles reabsorbs it. So excuse me, I misspoke. The next 3 out of 5 was Vampirella number 1. This is the Christopher Priest relaunch. Art is really tight. I can't remember who drew it. She's talking to a psychiatrist about her past, and he does not believe her of her being like a vampire. And it looks like her mother's alive. Vampirella's mother is alive. The next 3 out of 5 was from Dark Horse. That's Berserker Unbound. It's a barbarian loses his wife and daughter and goes through a vortex of some kind and ends up in a city in our time. It was interesting. I've seen better takes of this in Conan and Red Sonja that I couldn't figure out what separated this, and that was my only problem with it. But other than that, I was entertained. We have from Dynamite Comics, we go into our 4 out of 5s. We have Charlie's Angels versus Bionic Woman. This one I absolutely thought was great. The angels go undercover to find out who stole the chemical for a corporation. Looks like Jamie works, that's the Bionic Woman, works for the corporation. So they're going to have a clash. The art, I forget who drew it, but I thought the art was non-standard but beautiful. And the Mofud covers were gorgeous. I thought they were very sexy. So we have Maul number one. This was from Vault. It's not the Maul, which is from Scout, but Maul. Very different premises. This is a post-apocalyptic story where there's different factions within a mall, and a man is on the run as he's believed to have killed one of the other kings of the mall in this post-apocalyptic story that takes place in one of them. He teams up with a woman who lost her child at the beginning of the issue. We then have Gwenpool Strikes Back number 3. Gwen is now has a fundraiser that will put hero against hero for her own benefit. It's like a fight club. Ghost Rider number 1, Tent Series. This is the brand new one, Cooter Art. Johnny is running hell after he defeats Mephisto. Many demons are escaping hell, and Johnny asks Danny to help out, but he wants no part of it. Danny defeats one of the other larger demons. Lilith wants to kill Johnny and take over hell. I always like to see when Lilith is in a story. The caretaker is introduced, the new caretaker. Back matter with descriptions of all the underworlds that play into this story. It was really a good solid issue number one. Really enjoyed it. The layouts are amazing. The art is amazing. The story is very interesting. A lot of players in this issue. Contagion number one. The Kun Lun Yi Ti discovers a virus in the tunnels. Cut to New York. A Yancey Street kid asks the thing for help in a subway station tunnels, and he goes and finds an infected friend, an infected mole man, and moloids. He calls for help, and the entire FF show up and become infected. The Thunderer goes for help from Iron Fist. We got Bizarre Adventures number 1, second series, just a one shot, a story with Ulysses Bloodstone fighting off a Skrull. Interesting story, done in one. Shang-Chi meeting another master that he has to track down from year to year, and he ends up losing because of his compassion for a dog. Then there's a Clunin Dracula story was by far the best story of the three. As he Dracula falls for a woman in World War II, and she's a Van Helsing that wants to kill him. And cut to the future where he is watching her in her own deathbed. It was a really touching story. I liked it a lot. That was Bizarre Adventures number 1. We have the House of Secrets 93 volume 1, DC Comics. A woman thinks her mother is haunting her, but she is trying to save her from her own brother. That was an interesting story. And then the next one's a plantation owner in Guatemala goes down and finds a huge giant trapped in quicksand and tries to free him. A guy is recurring nightmares of falling at his construction site. A scientist has to take down a giant bug that keeps getting bigger and bigger and even have bigger cocoons. A woman and a man try to kill a man who is rich. The mother knows they killed him and is trying to convince the police. She puts a curse on them. It really is not haunting, but the husband is trying to kill the wife to get all the money, and to do so by making her look crazy. She ends up throwing him out of the window and killing him. So that was the irony of the story. Wonder Woman, Come Back to Me, number one. This is the Walmart original material collected in comic book format. A woman thinks her dead mother. Oh, sorry. Wonder Woman finds Steve and the crew, and they are attacked by giant insects. Cheetah attacks and steals Wonder Woman's lasso as her leg is hurt, and Wonder Woman does not have her full strength in the Bermuda Triangle. She's actually working at like half power, if you will. From Valiant Comics, Dr. Mirage number one. She is apparently dead as a young girl tries to convince her that she's already on the dead side. Her husband sent her to help her out. That's what the girl says anyway. But that's the irony of the situation is she thinks she's lost her husband, and she has, but she thinks she's on Earth proper and her show's dead and she wants to help her husband and she can't reach him anymore like she used to be able to talk to him and now she can't. When this little girl comes and knocks on the door and says, "The reason you can't do this stuff is 'cause you're really dead. Like you think you're alive, but you're really dead." That's the catch. We got Punk Mambo 1 through 3. Uncle Gunny Sack took her Loa when she was fighting a family of Grunch. She is then called upon by Marie Laveau and other Loa to go after Uncle Gunny Sack, who may be a Loa to get Ai. She has run in with another voodoo priest and then goes back to where Joseph and the Loa are, and they are all gone. It was a really cool story. Brian Cullen Bunn wrote that. Really solid. On the Dr. Mirage, it was Mags Vasaggio. We then will go to Vault, Necromancer's Map. Enjoyed this so much, I had to seek out Songs of the Dead. This is a necromancer finds a map and takes it to a coven of magicians for help. They point her to an archivist who is young but is dying of a rare disease. She brought one of her friends back to life and he left frustrated. She wants to help bring back some magician from the tombs to cure the archivist and translate the map. Got Once in Future from Boom! In the past, this woman found Excalibur and now she is in the old folks' home, which she put herself in, so her grandson wouldn't have to take care of her. She must trust in her grandson. And Excalibur's back, and there's some villains. So it's really cool. Really cool premise. Really good art. Avengers One Shot Loki Unleashed takes place right after the Masters of Evil attack the mansion and put Jarvis, Black Knight, and Hercules in the hospital. One of my favorite storylines. So they picked an era that of the Avengers I absolutely adore. They start to rebuild when Loki asks the Avengers for help, along with Doctor Strange. Loki is trying to team up with Sisi-Nig, who is a god, and they must stop him. They do with the help of the Living Tribunal. We have Powers of X, number 6. Great flashback scene with MacTaggart and Charles. In 1,000 years, we find the mutants going to be extinct, along with humanity. Mora lets Charles and Magneto know that they're going to fail, but they are going to try to change things anyway. House of X number 6. The roles of Krakoa are established. The rules of Krakoa are established. Sabretooth is imprisoned within Krakoa itself. They haven't touched on that since then. That's interesting. How the world will get the cancer-curing drugs. It basically says, well, how would they get these drugs that will cure all, make you immortal, sort of. Future Foundation number 3. The Maker and crew team up to fight the prisoner drones. It gives the entire backstory of this Bucky. That Bucky being the one from Heroes Reborn, which is a female. Rob Liefeld introduced her, I think. She was an android in that original series. I don't know if she is here. At the end, there is a cliffhanger, but we run into Leja, Johnny's Skrull wife. A matter of fact, I gotta read number 4 because that was such a good issue. The 5 out of 5. There was only one. Superman Up in the Sky, number 3. It's told through the eyes of a girl that was kidnapped in space as she remembers the Flash versus Superman race. It was absolutely phenomenal. Oh my God. Oh, it was amazing. The second story is cool too because Superman and Clark are split in two during a thunderstorm. Almost like Superman 3. And those that know me know how much I love Superman 3. I adore that movie. So that was it. The 5 out of 5 was Superman Up in the Sky. And the top 4 out of 5 was the Future Foundation 3, House of X number 6, Powers of X number 6. So let's get into October 14th through October 20th, 2019. We'll start at the bottom. There are a total of 19 comics, 3 Zenoscope, 4 Valiant, 1 Titan, 3 Marvel, 3 Dynamite, 5 DC, and a Wave New World, 2 of them. The movie that I watched that week was The Gate. I rewatched this. The first time I watched it was a long, long time ago when they had such things as VHSs and you'd go to the video store to rent them. This was even prior to Blockbuster, I remember. But I enjoyed The Gate then, and I enjoyed it now. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It's a story of a gate that's opened when a tree is removed from the backyard of this kid's house, and only love and a rocket can save the world. So then we got 4 out of 5s, which are Candyman. I'm not gonna say it again because he might come back. Which is a story of, if I remember correctly, is a slave that fell in love with a white woman, and then the white woman that they tortured him, essentially, these white supremacists, and he came back as a deity that haunts people. And then the next 4 out of 5 were the Satanic Rites of Dracula, and this was the first Dracula movie that had Christopher Lee and Peter, what's his name? He's General Krusing in Star Wars. I can't think of his name. Peter Cru Cushing? Peter Cushing. Or Cushing. Cushing. But it's the first Hammer Dracula that I've ever watched. And from what I remember reading about it, it's the last Hammer picture that he did with these two. And it's essentially Peter, not Peter Vincent, I am so much into Fright Night. Van Helsing killed Dracula, and now there's this like cult of people, all well-to-do people that meet and they sacrifice virgins, and you realize that they're sacrificing virgins to bring back Dracula, and they're people in power. So they have like a police chief, a city council guy. It's really hard to attack them. And this group has like a bunch of Van Helsings. They wear all kinds of these like sheepskin vests, and you better watch out for them. But it's all up to Van Helsing, his daughter, and one of the police commissioners to save the day. The Satanic Rites of Dracula, 4 out of 5. We then get into the 3 out of 5s. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 1. She goes off to college and has a run-in with Kraven the Hunter. Read that on Marvel Unlimited. I was entertained. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We had Black Terror number 1. This is from Dynamite Comics. He is in the 70s as an unhappy pharmacist and finds out he misses being a hero. He stops a serial killer, and then we find his co-workers work for the enemy, and she is assigned to keep tabs on him and make sure he did not become the hero again. Contagion, number 2, Marvel Comics. More heroes join as Doctor Strange, Cage, Cloak and Dagger, but Dagger gets sucked in As sucks in as patient zero from Kunlun, even more people become infected. The thing is the only one that seems to not get it because of his rock hide. We have Vampirella number 2 from Dynamite Comics. Vampirella is telling the psychiatrist of her tales and her relationship with her mother as she lays there being psychoanalyzed. We have Belle number 2 from Xenoscope. Belle is worried about her uncle, who warns her that the organization she works for is not what it appears. She is sent on a mission to collect yet another artifact from a strange area she is teleported to. We have Blade Runner 2019 number 2. The Blade Runner goes after a woman and her child and learns that the husband might be behind the fiasco. The husband that she's hired to. Essentially hired to find the wife. We also learn why she has a cybernetic spine. The House of Mystery 247 from DC Comics. A surfer risks all for a chance at money and ends up killing his competition, only to be killed by a ghost of his competition. A hunter wants to kill a large elephant, but the village in India want no part of it, and they say, no, we're not. But a group in that village needing the money offers to help him get what he wants and push the elephant herd towards the hunter, where the elephant is killed. The town priests put a curse on the hunter, where he is then struck when he gets back home and trampled to death, just like the village was trampled to death. Because he became shrunk and his wife couldn't find him, and they actually stepped on his ass. Unexpected number 149 from DC Comics. Two cops called to an old house because of complaints of the noise. They believe they see the old man with ghosts, and one cop tells the other of the history of the owner and why the house still stands. In France, there is a serial killer that is a woman. Or maybe a man dressed as a woman, and the police have to find out who is killing a bunch of men at night. A reporter tries to find out if a doctor and a person are the same person. We have Grimm Fairy Tales Presents No Tomorrow, 4 out of 5. This is kind of like what is that movie? What is that movie, Barb, where you just talked about? That the guy was in. I know that's a horrible description. But it was the one with the Rocky Mountain Final Destination. It's kind of like the Final Destination of comics. It's about death. And she like latches on to people. And there's a reason why she's latched on to this Patrick. With Patrick, with his wife dead and his children dead, must make a very difficult decision to defeat death. Really cool premise. I like that one from Zenoscope. Dead Legends number 1. This is from A Wave New World. This is something that they released as a single and then put out the trade. Kind of an interesting concept. Vault is playing with that. Scout is playing with that. There's a couple of people playing with that. In other words, we don't expect you to buy the trade, but if you buy the one number 1 and you like it, you may want to buy the trade. That kind of philosophy. So we got A Wave New World publishing this Dead Legends. There is a fight tournament, and one guy is killed before the tournament can begin, and his girlfriend seeks vengeance in the tournament, posing as someone else. We have Doctor Doom number 1 from Marvel Comics. Doctor Doom tries to stop an environmental improvement project on the moon that believes is going to cause more damage than good. Only to be framed for destroying the project on the moon. Union Jack and others go after Dr. Doom. It was a really interesting story. I liked it. Mezzo number 1, also from A Wave New World. A village of warriors must try to defend themselves against an army of Aztecs. We have Red Sonja and Vampirella number 1 and 2. This one's been the best Vampirella for me. Drew Moss is drawing. I can't remember who's telling the story, but Vampirella goes to Russia to find out, as a reporter, how some hikers were killed and find out if it is possible that they possessed Red Sonja. We have Killers number 1 and 2 from Valiant Comics. I wonder if I included those. Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. Punk 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. All of the ninjas prior to Ninja K are being. I didn't even know this was a Ninja K thing when the title came out. I should have. That's how far behind I am. A lot of them end up fighting each other and forming uneasy alliances. Ninja G has been believed to have been dead. Have been dead. I don't know what I was writing there. The other ninjas are also attacked as well. She confronts Alucard, and he says he has nothing to do with this. We have Punk Mambo number 4 and 5. Azir, who can regenerate, can negate magic bombs. God, I'm so sleepy. I can't even read my own writing. Azir, who can negate magic, absorbs all of the Loas magic bombs. I don't know what I'm saying. But Azir has absorbed all the Loas and sends his men to kill Punk Mambo and Joseph. They end up fighting him in an ultimate battle. Once she is absorbed, and she frees all of the Loas to defeat him. It's an interesting character because he never had magic, and then he was becoming all powerful by absorbing Loas, sucking them in. And the Loas don't like Punk Mambo because she enslaved a Loa. So yeah, it's an interesting story, interesting concept. Cullen Bunn did good with that. The 5 out of 5s, Joker 10. This is the unpublished issue of Joker from the 70s. You can read it in the Joker Omnibus. I think there might be another place that you can read it, but that's where I read it. I think it's on Comixology, or no, it was on the, surprisingly, it was on the DC Universe app. Because I know Daryl read it along with me in Gotham by Geeks. An Arkham doctor decides Joker needs a lobotomy, and then Joker manages to escape by selling his soul to the devil, who looks exactly like Elton John. I thought that was hilarious. To destroy a doctor and a drug that can make humanity immortal. He kills the surgeon and goes after the doctor and tells a story of how he killed the Justice League, specifically Flash, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow, and Black Canary. It was crazy time. An unpublished comic that collected the Joker in the Joker's Omnibus. We then have Batman's Grave. This was Warren Ellis. I didn't know if I was going to like it a lot because when he plays with tools that he doesn't create or he's not passionate about, like sometimes DC proper. He seems to write damn good Wildstorm. I don't know why he likes that those characters more. But I was curious on how he would do, but it turned out to be a really good issue. I loved it. Reunites Ellis and Hitch as they take on the Batman mystery, where he tries to discover the mystery of a dead man in an apartment. Alfred is worried Batman is fighting for nothing and is going to die. The Joker, Year of the Villain. This was written by John Carpenter. Yes, John Carpenter, the famous filmmaker. Probably giving ideas to an actual writer. I forget who actually penned it or wrote the words, but it was John Carpenter kind of doing his Stan Lee, giving his words to and his ideas, and then they gave this to the artist, and then the guy, somebody else probably filled in the words. John Carpenter's too busy for that shit. John Carpenter and Philip Tan take on a one-shot where it focuses on an Arkham inmate, Six of Hearts, where he serves as Joker's sidekick, only to find that the Joker is using him. Very interesting character, very tragic character, the Six of Hearts. I wonder if they'll ever bring him up again. He has led a very troubled life and can't tell Joker if he is a friend or not. Joker makes him believe that he is a friend. Joker goes to kill his mom, and that is when he realizes that the Joker is not his friend and he must fight the Joker. 5 out of 5. Again, the 5 out of 5s are Joker number 10 from the 70s. He originally had a 10-issue series. They didn't publish number 10. They published 9. That was last issue. Batman's Grave, number 1. Warren Ellis, 5 out of 5. And the Joker, Year of the Villain. Wow, very Joker-centric. near the Joker film. I don't know if it was just pushing all my buttons, but I liked it a lot. So the 5 out of 5s were those, plus Superman Up in the Sky. Very interesting 2 weeks because the 5 out of 5s were dominated by a DC Comics. There you go. I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can reach me at dcnoisepodcast.com. That's the website. You can click on the episode threads there, leave a comment. I will approve them and read them and respond to them and possibly talk about them on the show. You can also go to Facebook at DC Noise Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there, and I will get back to you. And I would comment, and also you can leave questions there. But the best way to get a hold of me is at Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch. That's where you can send me questions. That's where you can comment on my threads. That's where you can comment on episodes. You could do everything on Twitter if you want. That's where the best place to get a hold of me is. So that wraps this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. We'll talk to you soon. I hope you have a happy holiday if I don't do one more before the holidays. It's highly likely this will be the last before the holidays, but I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.